Good afternoon, folks, and welcome. It's time to break free. I will be your host for the hour, David Matthew Rock, coming to you live from the constitutional carry state of Arizona via the Patriot broadcast from the trenches, 89.5 FM, Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson. Simulcast on IndianaFreedomTalkRadio.com, the Grow Your Own channel, 107.5 FM, Greenville, South Carolina. Jalapenos Channel, 87.9 FM, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and many more micro-broadcasts and webcasts heard around the world. Take the time to check out the number one source for Patriot news on the web at FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. If you'd like to contact me via email, I can be reached at DavidMatthewRock@gmail.com. This is a live call-in program. Come on up and share your thoughts and experiences. Unlike the mainstream media, listener participation is appreciated. The call-in number is 641-715-3610. Once connected, you'll be asked for the conference room number, which is 220029 and the pound sign. Hit star 6 to unmute. All right, it is 1:05 p.m. Arizona Mountain Time. It is 97 degrees in Casa Grande, Arizona, sunny with 37% humidity. So today we're going to take a minute to bust John McCain's balls. We will get into it as soon as we return from these messages from our sponsors. Just a second. There we go.
The phrase, you are what you eat? Not true. Actually, you are what you can absorb. So if the vitamins and supplements you now take are not being absorbed, what good are they? Introducing Protovite, a proprietary liquid system that allows premium quality nutrients to positively affect the blood in an astonishing 5 minutes. Watch our amazing 2-minute live blood cell video at TrueNutritionNow.com. That's TrueNutritionNow.com. Then call 520-829-1133. Protovite is nutrition you can feel. Protovite is nutrition that gets in.
If you had purchased $100 of Bitcoin in 2010, today you'd have $2,600,000. While that sinks in, you now have a huge cryptocurrency opportunity trading at a guaranteed 10 cents per coin. Procoin, a coin publicly traded on the open market, easily converted to cash, available in 60 countries, and Procoin is the only cryptocurrency offering coin-back rewards for consumers and merchants. Take action by July 31st at procoincurrency.net. That's procoincurrency.net. Deadline for 10 cent guarantee is July 31st.
Hey, old Dr. Bones here. Are you prepared to deal with medical issues in a disastrous situation? What would you do if medical help was not on the way? The Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook is over 400 pages of how-to advice written in plain English. You'll learn to handle all the likely medical issues you'll encounter in times of trouble. And it's not just the conventional medical wisdom. We talk about alternatives like essential oils, medicinal herbs, and other home remedies. Make the Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook a part of your survival library. And don't forget, Nurse Amy and I have medical kits, suture materials, instructional DVDs, and other items that'll help you keep it together even if things fall apart. Check them out, as well as 200 articles on medical preparedness, survival gardening, and other alternative remedies on our website at www.doomandbloom.net. Never think doom and gloom, think doom and bloom.
Divergent Flavor Labs introduces our all-original e-juice flavor line made from pure 100% kosher USP food-grade ingredients. Whether it's our flavored tobaccos like Calypso or our amazing bakery flavors like Creme de Liumptious, Divergent Flavor Labs' handmade all-original flavor line will never disappoint. Available exclusively through VaporRebellion.com.
Thank you for listening to PBFTT.
Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5.
Micro FM.
Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson.
Okay, folks, so we're going to take a brief look at an article titled John McCain Making Dramatic Senate Return for Crucial Health Vote. It's coming from Fox 10 Phoenix, posted for discretion by yours truly at FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. We're just going to read a few paragraphs from this article. So, Washington AP, Associated Press. John McCain will make a dramatic return to the Senate for a make-or-break vote on Republican health care legislation Tuesday, just days after getting diagnosed with brain cancer, giving an emotional and arithmetical boost to his party's reeling effort to repeal Obamacare. Bullshit. The decision by the 80-year-old senator to travel to Washington from his Arizona home was announced by his office in brief press release late Monday night. It comes with the GOP bill to erase and replace President Barack Obama's law on the brink as Majority Leader Mitch McConnell pushes towards a pivotal vote Tuesday, prodded by an impatient and frustrated President Donald Trump. Senator McCain looks forward to returning to the United States Senate tomorrow to continue working on important legislation, including health care reform, the National Defense Authorization Act, and new sanctions on Russia, Iran, and North Korea, his office said. We don't need any of that shit. He should stay home. In fact, he should just fucking die. Excuse my language. So now we're going to read a few paragraphs from an article titled Governor Doug Ducey Not Naming Himself as John McCain's Replacement, Spokesman Says. That's a hell of a title. This is written by Howard Fisher, Capital Media Services, and is posted for discussion by yours truly at FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. Just going to scroll down for a second. All right. Okay. So McCain has sent out repeated messages that while he is exploring various treatment options, he intends to return to the Senate. That, however, has not stopped various suggestions and theories, as well as an outright claim by Kelly Ward, who lost to McCain in the 2016 primary, that he should step down and Ducey should name her as his replacement. Ducey, who has been on vacation, lucky him, this past week, has maintained silence. Now, this guy's got a goofy name, but I'll try not to butcher it. Scarpinato said that's by design. Our office has intentionally refused to engage in the gossip because it's incredibly disrespectful, he said in one Twitter message. But that proved too much after some in the media pointed out that, at least legally speaking, Ducey could select himself to fill any Senate vacancies that developed. Scarpinato again took to his keyboard to term that irresponsible speculation run amok and misleading. Irresponsible speculation and run amok misleading to Arizonans. He said it would have been one thing to throw out the idea if the governor had said or done something leading anyone to believe he would give up his job as the state chief executive to become one of 100 senators. But this hasn't happened. What has happened has come from Ward, who is trying not only to set herself up as heir apparent, but also to send a message to McCain that his diagnosis is grim, that she believes he is dying, and that he should step down for his own good. All right, so reading these couple articles made me think of a Jim Henson movie from 1982 called The Dark Crystal. The antagonists are these bureaucratic vulture-type creatures. We're going to play a clip where the emperor is dying and hanging onto power all the way up until the last minute. His comrades are gathered around him waiting to seize power, and the clip is up on the trenches if you're yet to see it. So let's get it queued up here.
He's not dead yet, my Lord Chamberlain.
Kneel! Bow!
My dear, my...
So to me, that's funny, seeing these megalomaniac pricks all at each other's throats, to see this old bastard McCain hanging on to the last little bit of power all the way up into the grave. You know, 80 years old, go retire. What the hell's wrong with you? Okay, so this next article I'm going to bring up mentions common law, of which I'm not really an expert, so I want to encourage the listeners to interject with your thoughts and information. Just go ahead and interrupt me at any point. Let's go ahead and navigate. Okay. The title of this article is Massachusetts High Court: Local Authorities Can't Detain People Without Charges for ICE. So this was sent into From the Trenches worldreport.com by yours truly, posted for discussion, and we're going to get right into it. So we got a photograph here of a couple ICE officers arresting a gentleman, and I'm just going to read the title under this photograph. In this February photo release by U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, agents arrest foreign nationals. I think it's funny, like Henry mentions, that they call foreigners nationals and we get called citizens all the time. Quite interesting, quite telling. According to a Massachusetts Supreme Judicial Court ruling Monday, the local law enforcement cannot honor ICE detainers, which request that a person remain in custody who would otherwise be released. Okay, so now we're going to get into the body of the article here. The highest court in Massachusetts ruled Monday that local law enforcement cannot keep people in custody solely by the request of federal Immigration and Customs Enforcement. The practice, often known as an ICE detainer, enabled federal authorities to take a longer look at the immigration status of people whom they suspect might be in the country illegally, even if they were otherwise free to leave. Now, we see tons of articles where they toss people in jail for a month and they don't even really charge them, and then they let them go and waste all their time. So that they're having a Supreme Court case in the state of Massachusetts over 2 days to check immigration status. Let's continue. This could mean the individual's charges have been dismissed, they've posted bail, or their sentence has been completed. Shannon Dooling, a member of station WBUR, explains, "The detainer, which is not the same as an arrest warrant, which requires proof of probable cause and a judge's signature, gives ICE up to 2 days to look into a person's immigration status and potentially pursue deportation. But the state's laws provide no authority for Massachusetts court officers to arrest and hold an individual solely on the basis of federal civil immigration detainer, beyond the time that the individual would otherwise be entitled to be released from state custody." The Supreme Judicial Court said in its unanimous decision. Okay, and because deportation is a civil process, not a criminal prosecution, the court appeared skeptical that the state police, not just the court officers, could accede to an ICE detainer. Conspicuously absent from our common law is any authority in the absence of statute for police officers to arrest generally for civil matters, let alone authority to arrest specifically for federal civil immigration matters. Now, I hope I read that clearly enough. And like I said, at any point, if you got something to say, go ahead and interrupt me. Monday's verdict came in Commonwealth versus Lunn, which sought to determine the fate of, now this guy's got a goofy name, Shrey Noon Lunn, an immigrant who had been held in a courthouse holding cell after a charge of unarmed robbery against him had been dismissed. Born to Cambodian parents in a Thai refugee camp, Lunn isn't recognized as a citizen by either country, and both refused to take him. WBER reported last month, noting he was first ordered deported from the U.S. nearly a decade ago. So what the hell's going on there? Still, when Lunn was 7 months old, he was legally allowed into the country as a refugee and given lawful permanent resident status, the Associated Press notes. He has two U.S.-born children. Civil liberties activists hailed the court's decision. This court decision sets an important precedent that we are a country that upholds the Constitution and the rule of law. Bullshit. Carol Rose, executive director of the ACLU of Massachusetts, said in a statement, "This victory is the first of a kind in the nation." I don't see it as a damn victory. I see it as a usurpation. I mean, we get held to the third degree on everything, and this guy can get charged with a potential robbery, and they can't even hold him for two more days to look at his paperwork, and he's already been ordered deported a decade ago? Okay, let me finish it up. There's just one more paragraph. "This is hopefully something that we will look back on and see that it sent a message out to all the other states that this is not the job of the states to be enforcing federal immigration laws." Susan Church, former head of the New England chapter of the American Immigration Lawyers Association, told WBER, "Federal authorities did not immediately issue a public response to the decision." So I don't know what any of this has to do with common law, but obviously this is total bullshit. The feds are not doing their jobs. They're not protecting the border. Okay, here's a solution for all the people who are coming over here legally, the people that we're bringing in on visas or whatever, or the people that are crossing the border to do some shopping in Tucson or whatever. Have them pay like $5,000 to $10,000 to the feds, right? Now they get a contract that allows them to stay a certain amount of time. Then when they don't come to collect that money at the end of the contract, put a bounty right on their head. Okay, and then just let regular old bounty hunters, let the cops, let people like you and me just snatch them up, bring them to the ICE center, and then kick them right back over the border. That would cost absolutely nothing. Now, as far as getting the border fixed, we have all the manpower, we have all the tools, we have incredible spy technology where you're going to be able to see these people coming a mile or two away via infrared. It doesn't matter whether we got weather patterns or it's raining or anything. We have everybody on the payroll, we have all the trucks and all the equipment. So for them to pretend that we cannot secure the border and that we cannot get all of the illegals out of this country is bullshit. Is there anybody that wants to come up?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Go ahead, Henry.
Oh, okay. You were talking. See, we've been talking about this. What they're doing is they've got everything twisted around 180 once again. We are being oppressed under the administrative admiralty jurisdictions that can't exist. And when they say that the feds can't go come pick these guys up, they couldn't if they were American nationals. But see, they've got it all spun around. Anytime someone crosses into this country, it's without permission, without being checked out when they're coming in. That is a national security risk. And it is within the power. This is one of the few powers the government really has. And that is anybody that comes in this country, they immediately fall under military jurisdiction until it's found out who they are. They could be a group of people coming in to sabotage a nuclear plant. You see what I'm saying? So they've got it all backwards, and now that they've removed our common law Bill of Rights, our jurisdictions in our courts, they're just picking and choosing, taking these courts, and oh, this is the Constitution thing that we're talking about here, and it's good, we're going to apply it to this foreigner that you can't have a federal hold on him. Yes, by jingle, you can. That's exactly who a federal hold is for. And those, I mean, that is the only way that authority could ever come out of that 10-mile square, was to come out and pick somebody like that up and take them to a military facility for processing, because they are in the country. They crossed in. I mean, what's the difference if you have a gun or a bomb, or if you just walk across and then get a gun or a bomb? You know what I'm saying? Anyway, I thought I'd clear that up a little bit if I could. Later.
Excellent. I completely agree. And it goes to show you that the war on terrorism is bullshit. And the war on drugs is bullshit. And this police state, this incredibly large, ever-growing, disgusting police state, is just meant for the American national. Because if they gave one shit about terrorism, the border would be secured, and anybody coming over here would be highly scrutinized. If they gave one shit about the drug war, which I don't agree with, and there's some obvious reasons for that. But if they gave any shit about the drug war, that border would be secured. Our oceans would be secured. But hell, anybody that's been in this fight long enough, anybody that's been looking into this long enough, knows that they're bringing in the cocaine, the MENA connection. They were bringing it into Arkansas via C-130 prop planes, and then putting it out on Cessnas and delivering it to the rest of the country. Anybody that's been in this game long enough knows that in California, there was Freeway Ricky Ross, who was buying cocaine from Daniel Blandone, which was one guy removed from the CIA and the whole Iran-Contra, selling armaments for empowering the Condinistas in South America. So the drug war is bullshit. Anybody that's looked into the 9/11 attack, okay, buildings don't collapse like that. They cannot come. They fell down at the same speed of which a bowling ball would fall through thin air. And what you're seeing with the Twin Towers specifically is not a implosion, but an explosion. And what you're watching is beams that weigh 100,000 pounds being chucked like 100 feet, 400 feet, and getting stuck into surrounding buildings. So all of this is bullshit. And the best way to put a stop to it, like we've been talking, we need to wake people up. We need to boycott. Now, I got another article that I posted yesterday. It's called, Could Universal Basic Income End Property? Or excuse me, End Poverty? It was posted at FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com for discussion by yours truly. Now, this article got a lot of commentary, and rightly so. And to me, it reminded me of this Obamacare healthcare bill. When they were pushing the Obamacare healthcare bullshit, one thing that I did not hear enter the lexicon was a simple question of why. Why is healthcare unaffordable? Who made it unaffordable? When did it become unaffordable? What is the timeline in the series of events that have made healthcare unaffordable? If we're going to fix any problem, if anybody with a brain in their skull is going to fix any problem, you got to go through who, what, when, where, and why, and you got to look at everything in a logical, chronological progression. And then you have to bring it all to the table for an open discussion, not a bullshit managed debate. And that's what we're seeing in this article, asking or hailing for a universal basic income, UBI for short. And what's worse is when you read this article, some of the wealthiest people in this nation are pushing this idea. Okay. Now, if these people gave one shit about the welfare of the people of this nation, they would simply pay their employees better. Okay, we'll get into this article as soon as we return from the break. And here we go.
Something went wrong, and we don't define it like that. You must stay strong.
You've heard the phrase, you are what you eat? Not true. Actually, you are what you can absorb. So if the vitamins and supplements you now take are not being absorbed, what good are they? Introducing Protovite, a proprietary liquid system that allows premium quality nutrients to positively affect the blood in an astonishing 5 minutes. Watch our amazing 2-minute live blood cell video at TrueNutritionNow.com. That's TrueNutritionNow.com. Then call 520-829-1133. Protovite is nutrition you can feel. Protovite is nutrition that gets in.
If you had purchased $100 of Bitcoin in 2010, today you'd have $2,600,000. While that sinks in, you now have a huge cryptocurrency opportunity trading at a guaranteed 10 cents per coin. Procoin, a coin publicly traded on the open market, easily converted to cash, available in 60 countries, and Procoin is the only cryptocurrency offering coin-back rewards for consumers and merchants. Take action by July 31st at procoincurrency.net. That's procoincurrency.net. Deadline for 10 cent guarantee is July 31st.
Hey, old Dr. Bones here. Are you prepared to deal with medical issues in a disastrous situation? What would you do if medical help was not on the way? The Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook is over 400 pages of how-to advice written in plain English. You'll learn to handle all the likely medical issues you'll encounter in times of trouble. And it's not just the conventional medical wisdom. We talk about alternatives like essential oils, medicinal herbs, and other home remedies. Make the Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook a part of your survival library. And don't forget, Nurse Amy and I have medical kits, suture materials, instructional DVDs, and other items that'll help you keep it together even if things fall apart. Check them out, as well as 200 articles on medical preparedness, survival gardening, and other alternative remedies on our website at www.doomandbloom.net. Never think doom and gloom, think doom and bloom.
Divergent Flavor Labs introduces our all-original e-juice flavor line made from pure 100% kosher USP food-grade ingredients. Whether it's our flavored tobaccos like Calypso or our amazing bakery flavors like Crumbiliumptious, Divergent Flavor Labs' handmade all-original flavor line will never disappoint. Available exclusively through VaporsRebellion.com.
Thank you for listening to PBFTT.
Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5.
Micro FM.
Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson.
You can hear it in the distance. You can feel it in the air. You can tell the time is coming, sense it everywhere. You can see it in the faces, all around you see the signs. A revolution's coming, and freedom's on the line. Will you be among the patriots? Will you stand among the brave? Will you heed the call, give your all, will you, for the USA? It's about the Constitution, about Washington, D.C., about our God and country, about our liberty. It's about our independence, about the IRS, about our right to bear arms, peace and happiness. Will you be among the USA. I believe our founding fathers are looking on from up above. They will be with us in spirit as we take back America. Will you be among the patriots? Will you stand among the brave? Will you heed the call? Give your all, will you, for the USA? Will you be among the patriots? Will you stand among the brave? Will you heed the call? Give your all, will you, for the USA? For the USA.
Time to Break Free is a listener-sponsored broadcast. If you'd like to help keep this program on the air, go to FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com and hit that donate button. Or you can mail donations to Henry Shively at Post Office Box 964, Chiloquin, Oregon 97624. Your contributions are appreciated. I'm your host, David Matthew Rock. It is 1:37 Arizona Mountain Time, and that was Steve Voss with Patriots coming out of the break. So the bumper music you're hearing today is from our very own Joe from the Carolinas, who broadcasts on one of our sister stations. You can follow his band, The Filthy Weasels, on Facebook and subscribe to Joe from the Carolinas at YouTube. Okay, so we have a drawing at From the Trenches, and we're going to talk about it real quick. Mary, Flea, Norm, and Jalapeno are sponsoring a drawing for From the Trenches World Report. Mary has provided four prizes. The drawing will be for a pair of Midland Talker two-way radios. The second drawing from our sponsor, Doom and Bloom, will be for the Survival Medicine Handbook and Amy Alton and a Luminade Solar Lantern. The third drawing will be for Curing the Incurable by Thomas E. Levy and Only by Blood and Suffering by Lavoie Finicum. The fourth drawing, also from our sponsor Doom and Bloom, will be the Survival Medicine Handbook by Joseph and Amy Alton and a SWAT T tourniquet. Flea has provided a sun oven for the fifth drawing. Norm has provided a set of M1 Grand Receiver blueprints rolled in a tube for the sixth drawing. Let's see. Jalapeno has provided three prizes. The seventh drawing will be for a new Fulton MX991/U Anglehead military issue, or flashlight military issue. The eighth drawing will be for two new Alice LC-1 first aid / compass pouches. The ninth drawing will be for six P-38 can openers. Every dollar donated equals one entry into the drawing. All those who have donated since the last drawing are automatically entered unless specifically asked not to be. The drawing will be held Friday, July 28th, 2017, in the final segment of The Word from the Trenches. We extend our thanks to Mary, Flea, Norm, and Jalapeno for providing these prizes. All donations are needed and appreciated. Good luck to all who step up. Now, I think I heard a voice. Is there somebody that wanted to come up real fast?
Yeah, it's Flea.
How's it going, Flea?
Pretty good. I just wanted to make a disclaimer on that sun oven is that the sun isn't included with it.
Well, depending on what state you're in, you might have a little too much state or too much sun. I know here in Arizona, I don't even think you need the sun oven. You just put it right out on the sidewalk, and you're going to have a brisket.
Pretty much.
So did you get a chance to look at this article I'm about to bring up called Could Universal Basic Income End Poverty? No? All right, well, anyway, we're going to get right into it. So this was sent to FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com by me, posted for discussion. It was presented by Fox 10 Phoenix. So Bernie Sanders made the fight for 15 a central part of his campaign in 2016. But a new method to increase wages and reduce poverty is gaining traction in the U.S. Universal Basic Income, or UBI, is a form of Social Security where the government provides every citizen with monthly cash payments, no strings attached, to cover their basic expenses. You mean kind of like what Gaddafi was doing when he was paying everybody the oil revenue? Everybody got a little piece of the oil revenue, kind of like that, the guy that we had to kill. All right. Anyway, not that I'm a supporter of him. Most supporters propose $1,000 per month, enough money to keep every citizen in the U.S. above the poverty line. The concept is actually not new. In 1795, Thomas Paine, one of America's founding fathers, wrote about the need for a basic income in his pamphlet, Agrarian Justice. Now, maybe that's something we can look into. Maybe I'll present that tomorrow. We'll see if the wordsmiths are twisting what he was saying. UBI also gained popularity in the 1960s and 70s when it was advocated by thinkers such as Martin Luther King Jr., free market economist Milton Friedman, and even President Richard Nixon. Now, UBI is in vogue again, especially in Silicon Valley. We know how corrupt those bastards are. We were just talking about pedophile networks on YouTube yesterday, and we were talking about how they're squashing all of our truth channels. So I wouldn't be interested in teaming up with anything coming out of Silicon Valley, to be honest with you. All right. Some see it as a way to protect workers who will become displaced by widespread automation. Now, this is comical to me. Yes, technology will take over a lot of labor type jobs. But for the money system to function, for any money system or marketplace to function, the money just needs to circulate. And you'll notice that people, when they have extra money, spend it on all sorts of frivolous BS. I mean, how many women are out there that go spend $100 on their toes and their nails every week? Are you going to get a robot to do that? And would they even want a robot to do that? They usually sit there and they talk with the woman. Or people that go out to comedy clubs or restaurants or all of these different types of services. You know, even if everything was automated, we would still have, if money is circulating and not being sucked out like a freaking vacuum, we would still have the ability to create businesses. We could focus more on our health. We could focus on clean eating. We could take yoga classes. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. We could fill up all of these empty strip malls with all sorts of various businesses. Okay, so where the hell did I leave off? Okay, some see it as a way to protect workers. At the World Government Summit in Dubai, okay, Tesla CEO Elon Musk said, "I think ultimately we will have to have some kind of universal basic income. I don't think we are going to have a choice." Well, how much money does that – I'll try not to swear. How much money is that person making? You know, how many billions or millions is he hanging on to? Why can't he even play? Why can't he pay his janitor more? You know, all right. Others think UBI can spur innovation and entrepreneurship. How about not robbing us blind every step of the way? This is something that I've expressed before. When you buy any good or service, all of the taxation, all of the regulation, all of the overhead is expressed in that price. So if we didn't have so many obstacles in our way and so many fingers in the frickin' pie, we wouldn't need them to hand us a measly $1,000 a month. Yes, Mr. So, I thank you. Anyway, strangely enough, I almost missed the whole Mark Zuckerberg thing. Okay, Mark Zuckerberg, CEO of Facebook, said in a commencement speech at Harvard, We should explore ideas like universal basic income to give everyone a cushion to try new things. Now, I apologize. I should have done some research. I should see what this Zuckerberg is worth. As stated, if he was paying his employees more, or let's look at it this way, whatever he's using to generate income, why the hell don't he lower his price? Why does any individual, and now I'm not saying we should be stopping people from accumulating resource, but why would any individual need multitudes of billions of dollars? Why would any corporation need that much capital? It doesn't make any logical sense. If they're just sitting there and hanging on to it, it's not serving its purpose. And its purpose is to circulate, because all that a fiat dollar is an IOU. You give me some of your time, I'm going to give you a faith-based, economy-wide IOU note that you can use in the marketplace to attain the goods and services that you need, because the business that I'm employing you to do cannot offer you what you need to conduct your life. So let's continue. Strangely enough, some conservatives like the idea as well. Libertarian backers of UBI see it as a way to eliminate social welfare programs and reduce bureaucracy. Now, I'm all for private welfare. I'm for private institutions, churches, so on and so forth, taking care of individuals. But at the same time, I don't hand bums on the corner money. I'm not going to influence people into having bad behavior. And we all know that the strongest people, the most interesting people, the most successful people are the ones who are forged in the fire. They're the ones that are driven. They're the ones who have gone through the hard times and overcome, and they are self-motivated. You start handing $1,000 a month to everybody, or as is proposing later, $1,000 to $3,000, everybody for free, you're not going to see as much innovation, you know? So anyway, let's continue. Some states have already adopted measures that incorporate elements of guaranteed basic income. Now, what they're going to talk about is, I'll just read it. Alaska has distributed some of its revenue from drilling oil to every resident, including children, since 1982. This takes the form of an annual payment ranging from $1,000 to $3,000. Now, that makes sense. If we're talking about our resources being sold abroad, then that makes logical sense. But that's not really UBI. $1,000 to $3,000 annually is not $1,000 a month. Okay, well, here, let me state this too. I think ultimately, if we're going to have a marketplace that works, we need multiple competing systems. Having all of our eggs in one basket is not a good idea. And most people have really no understanding of what currency and money actually is. Like I stated before, it's an IOU. And when you clip a coupon out of the newspaper, it's as good as cash. In fact, it's not really altogether that much different from the New World Order, Novus Ordo Seclorum dollar that you got sitting in your back pocket. So the more different systems we have, the harder it is to crash one over the other, the harder it is to undermine one. Anytime you have a monopoly, you're always going to get the prices going up and the quality going down. And in our case with the Federal Reserve, they're admitting 2% inflation a year. So in 10 years, that's 20% of your dollar's buying power. And who knows what the actual inflation rate actually is. You can't trust them in their assessment. Okay, so we're almost done here. This past June, Hawaii's state legislator unanimously passed a bill commencing state agencies to study UBI as a way to provide financial security to all Hawaiians. If you don't know anybody from Hawaii, Hawaii's got a lot of economic problems. I've met a few people from there, and they've expressed the same things. A few people with a buttload of money, and then everybody else is basically living check to check. Only time will tell if universal basic income is truly the answer to reducing poverty in an uncertain economic future. And why is this this future uncertain? When we were talking about a fiat dollar printed or just entered by keystrokes onto a hard drive, it's coming out of nothing. So explain to me why we are having uncertain economic future. We got manpower. We got materials. We got sunshine. We got water. What's the problem? What's the problem? So this article has a bunch of comments, but I want to give our listeners a chance to come up on the air and express any of their thoughts related to this article. So I'll give you a little bit of time. I know there's a bit of a delay. All right, I'm going to finish up the day just kind of reading through these comments because there's some good ones. So Duncan says, when everything is becoming automated, what other option is there? Going off grid is impossible since nobody in this country can own their home. More jobs are either going overseas or becoming automated. Well, you know, I don't think technology is always a double-edged sword, and as much as it harms us, it can also help us. It just depends on how we look at it and how open of a discussion that we can have about it and how many people actually have their hands on it. If technology is only in a few people's hands and the majority of us don't have access to it, then yeah, it can be used to dominate us and undermine us, so on and so forth. Mary in North Dakota says, no, not as long as the tax man has his hand out and markets are manipulated and that's exactly it. As stated before, when you buy any good or service, every little bit of tax, every little bit of regulation is expressed in that end price. So she's exactly right by saying that. Bob from Wisconsin says, it's just Jewish Bolshevik communism, and I agree with him on that. It fits right into the New World Order agenda. Everybody will live happily ever after. That also means there will be no middle class. And yes, that's exactly who all of this legislation and BS is being pointed at, the middle class, the ones that produce. Okay, so number one New World Order hater says, universal basic income, universal basic income, or UBI, is a form of Social Security where the government provides every citizen with monthly cash payments, no strings attached, to cover their basic expenses. No strings attached, except the one attached to the plug the so-called government will pull when it's ready to. This is no valid solution to poverty, short-term at best. And I agree with that. Let's continue. Mark Schumacher in Las Vegas says, billionaires don't pay fair tax. When you have punks like Mark Zuckerjew making hundreds of millions a year, you're never going to have a fair distribution of wealth. This wall kisser can kiss my ass. This piece of shit wants AI to take your job. And yep, that's true and quite funny. Kudos. Flea, UBI could end poverty, but killing off all the poor people would be more cost effective. Yeah, and if you look at the Georgia Guidestones, that's definitely what they have in plan. The poor and the middle class, hell, I mean, if all they want is $500 million and we're supposed to be at $7 billion or 7 point whatever, then geez, I mean, what percentage is that? Coors says, no idea how to post a meme. Oh, okay, hold on, let's get past that. That's all right, and NC says, isn't that what they call minimum wage? Now, he's making a good point here. Minimum wage to me is kind of like chasing the dragon. You're never going to solve the problem with minimum wage because the people who are employing the minimum wage employees are going to have to raise the prices of goods and services. Do you really think they're going to cut their profit margin? Uh-uh. They're going to do it in whatever way they can do it, so we will slowly accept it. Maybe they'll take a couple ounces away from their hamburger patty, and they'll bump up the price 30 or 40 cents, and they'll spend 3 or 4 years rolling it out. But they will never, you'll never be able to solve the problem with a government-mandated minimum wage. Plus, let's look at it this way. What about people who are autistic and people who are retarded who are being taken care of as a ward, being taken care of by friends and family? Now, these people require extra management to be able to put them into a job and have them function. They require more management, which means they are not as productive, which means if you pay them the same rate of pay that you pay everybody else, you're going to have a difficult time making a profit. And I could see it as being very valid to bring in these people to manage them properly and to give them a job, even if you're only paying them a small amount. It's helping out the people who are taking care of them. It's giving them a sense of community. It's allowing them to socialize. So saying that I can't bring somebody on for $3 or $4 an hour who I have to micromanage the whole time because they're not – they have not been gifted with the same skills as the average man, that's BS. And at the same time, another way to look at it too is every young child I've met, you know, past 10 years of age, they all want to earn money. Now, I'm not for, you know, child labor per se, that we need to be putting these kids in sweatshops or anything like that, but I guarantee a child's going to learn more by working with men and women in an adult setting than they're ever going to learn at public school. So they're going to require a little bit more management. They're going to require a little bit more instruction. So why can't I bring in the right context, in the safe situation, why can't I bring in the 13-year-old boy who wants to learn a little bit of carpentry or a little bit of plumbing, or maybe just to sit there and to be a gopher and you know, at a mechanic shop and grab the stuff that I need and learn the terms, learn how to function in a business environment at a young age when they are most impressionable. So, I kind of went down the rabbit hole with that. So let's continue his comment. So North Carolina said, go ahead. Come on.
You remember back in junior high, at least when I was going to school, they used to have metal shop, auto shop, and wood shop. I don't even think they have that anymore.
It wouldn't surprise me if they're canceling the technological aspects of learning. It would not surprise me at all. Let's look at it this way. My generation, I was born in 1981. Why weren't they teaching us C++? Why weren't they teaching us QBasic? Why weren't they teaching us HTML? If they wanted to compete on the marketplace with China, and if they wanted to compete on the marketplace with Japan and all of these other nations, they would have been teaching me the types of skills they absolutely knew would be needed and coming into play within the next decade or so.
They should have third graders with computers on their desk designing web pages. That's what they should have.
I completely agree. We need to keep them away from YouTube and the internet and all this smut. But yes, if you wanted to prepare them for what the world has been, or in this present day has moved to, this is exactly what you'd be showing them. But with, you can't tell me that the government, seeing what Apple was doing and seeing what Microsoft was doing in the 70s into the 80s, you can't tell me they didn't know. You can't tell me they couldn't have implemented this. They're doing this intentionally. They've been breaking our spirit intentionally. They've been dumbing this down intentionally. They've been reducing our skill sets intentionally so they can hand it over to foreign workers in Mexico or India or China so they can undermine us and make us weak and make us dependent. So what would a universal basic income be? A dependency. So this is all tied in. This is all kind of working together. And these things have been happening. Go ahead, Katie.
David? Oh, yeah, thank you. Yeah, you know, I didn't actually read that article, but I do have a question. That UBI, I mean, could they still collect that and still work, or would that just be their sole source of money?
In this article, it was not defined one way or the other. They didn't say whether you could continue to work or not, I'm pretty sure. I'd have to go back and read through it again. My guess would be you would be allowed to continue to work. But, let's look at it this way. If all of this money is printed out of thin air and all of this money exists because somebody borrowed it either through a treasury bond or some form of loan or some form of credit, that means they really do not need to tax us. That means that the banking system in and of itself will constantly be canceling out credit because all of this money was issued and birthed out of debt. So one thing they could do right away is just stop hitting us with income tax. They could stop hitting us with Social Security. They could stop hitting us with Medicare. They could, all the previously accrued liabilities that the government has, all the money that they promised to pay, they could pay this money in newly created money, not birthed out of debt. And this money would not necessarily inflate the economy because the banking system is cannibalistic. It is constantly negating money and removing money from the monetary supply. So right out of the gates, they can put money right back in the middle class's pockets. And you know what? When you have the money, and you have the time, you're going to pay somebody to come over and do your yard work. You're going to pay somebody to come over and fix your roof. You're going to pay somebody to be your mechanic instead of trying to do it all yourself. Anybody want to come up with a final thought? Because we're running out of time here.
Sorry. A lot of people will jump on this, I would imagine. But you know what? And not knowing that, hey, look, we ought to be being compensated for our resources, you know, like they are up in Alaska, as you mentioned. I mean,
all right, Katie.
Yeah, each one of us ought to be a chunk of money every single month.
All
not
right.
This, you know, just this, you know, like I said, the printed money, which is what it probably
all right,
is.
I'm sorry, Katie. I got to fade you down. I apologize here. We're absolutely running out of time. I very much appreciate everybody's calls and discussion, and maybe we'll get a chance to get back into it tomorrow. Y'all enjoy the rest of your afternoon.
All